The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. I think we've all been in situations where it seems that we've run out of hope. And we've heard something from God, from the Lord. We believe God has spoken something to us. But you just hope and hope and hope until you get to the point where you just feel like there is no hope any longer. I want to talk to you this morning about having hope when there is no hope. How can we do that? How can we get to the point where even though it seems like it's prolonged, because deferred here means to draw out or prolong. And we all know, and we've all been in those situations where we feel like that it's just been prolonged. The fulfillment of what God said to us has just been prolonged for, you know, such a long time. I know for myself, God has fulfilled many things that He's spoken to my heart, many prophecies and words that He's brought to me from other people that He had placed in my heart. He's fulfilled many of them, but there's two or three things right now that has not come to pass. How do we hold on to that? How do we continue to believe it? Because, you know, the first thing we start thinking is, well, maybe that was just me. Maybe it wasn't God. Well, what we have to do is come to the place where we believe that we truly have heard from God. And I think there's some things that we can do to be able to do that and hold on so that our hope is not completely gone, that we have a good outlook, that we can look at things no matter what happens, we can look at it and say, it's good because God is in control. I think about the story that I've told this before, but I think it's really a good illustration. It was a king in Africa that had a friend, and he grew up with this guy, and this guy had a habit of saying, no matter what happened, good or bad, positive, negative, it is good. One day they were out hunting, and the friend was loading the guns. And something happened to one of the guns, and the king was pretty upset with him. So he loaded another one, and as the king got ready to fire, it misfired and blew his thumb off. And the guy said, this is good, because that was his habit. The king said, no, this isn't good. This is not good at all. This is very painful, and this is not good for me in the future. I'm going to throw you in prison. So he took the guy and put him in prison. While he was in prison, he was there for about a year. And while he was in prison, the king was out hunting again. And this time he was hunting in an area where there were cannibals. And the cannibals caught him, killed his men, and they were going to roast him and eat him. They prepared him. They put the fire, the wood under him. They tied him up. They were going to roast him alive. And as they got ready to do it, they noticed that he didn't have a thumb. And cannibals, their tradition was that they wouldn't eat any human being that wasn't perfect. So they untied him and let him go. On his way home, he got thinking about it. And he thought about why he didn't have a thumb, and he thought, man, I was so cruel to my friend. And he went to his friend, and he said, man, will you forgive me? I release you from jail. Come and come back into my palace and live with me. I'll take care of you. Will you please forgive me? It was a horrible thing that I did to put you in prison. And the friend said, no, it was a good thing. He said, how could it be a good thing? You spent a whole year in prison. He said, had I not been in prison, I would have been with you. Little different way of looking at things, huh? It is good. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It may seem horrible, but God is in control. It is good. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We want to look at the fact that it is good. And God is in control. And even though we may be in that place where it looks like nothing is happening, our heart is sick, the desire is going to come. It's going to come and it will be a tree of life. Amen. But I want to warn you of something. When you get to that point in your life where it doesn't look like anything is happening, please do not try to make it happen. Wait on the Lord. You remember what happened to Abraham? He had a word from the Lord. He believed that he was going to have a son. And he was going to have descendants that would, be numbered with the sand of the sea, the stars of the sky. God promised him. So he got to the point where he didn't know what to do. He was getting old, 100 years old. And it hadn't been fulfilled. Where was God? God, where are you? All I know, you want me to make it happen. And guess what? Ishmael was born. And I don't know if you know this or not, but right now, the world is in turmoil because Ishmael was born. I do not want you to birth an Ishmael in your life. I want you to wait on the Lord. If you wait on the Lord, it will turn out right. David found himself in that same situation. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, David has got, he's come to this point where he had to flee the palace. And King Saul was after him, and he went out into the desert, and Jonathan comes out and talks to him, and Jonathan says, "Surely not, my father wouldn't try to kill you." And David said, "No, you go back and talk to him, you'll find out." And he went back, and he found out that Saul was trying to take David's life. And the two came together, and they fell on each other, and they wept because of the situation they were going to. They both knew that David had been called to be king. And yet the circumstances and the situation surrounding them right then didn't look like he was ever going to be king. And lots of things that he went through didn't look like he was ever going to be king. However, David had something that I believe we all need to have. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're not going to read a lot, but I just want to read a couple verses here. Verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" If you remember, Saul had been appointed and anointed as king. Because the people were crying out for a king, Saul actually rejected God's word in his life, did something that God told him not to do, and at that point, he'd actually turned his back on God. I don't know. I can't really tell you what the difference was between Saul's mistake and David's mistakes in his life. All I know is Saul was chosen at one point and rejected, and then David was chosen. If you look at verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Here we see David, a young man whose heart, according to the Lord, whose heart was loyal to him. He was a man after God's own heart. We see him receiving an anointing and a word from the prophet. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you for sure what exactly happened in David's life leading up to this. All I know is that he was a shepherd. He took care of his father's sheep, and he spent many hours out in the desert alone with sheep. What do you do when you're with a bunch of sheep for hours after hours after hour? Well, David did the right thing. He talked to God. There's no doubt about it. He had a relationship with the Father. So I just want to inject some speculation here. I speculate that David, while he was in the desert worshiping the living God, that God spoke to his heart. And David had a revelation from God that said, you're going to do something great for me. I'm not saying that David knew what it was, but he knew that he was called to something more than just take care of sheep. That there was something stirring inside of his heart that said, God has called me to accomplish something for his kingdom. And then when Samuel came and anointed him, I got to tell you, I don't believe David was as surprised as everybody else. Because David knew that God had a plan for his life. When somebody comes and speaks a word to you and says, thus saith the Lord, and it resounds in your spirit, other people around might be amazed by what that person said, but really, you're not. I can speak that from experience. I knew that God had called me. I didn't want to hear it, but I knew that God had called me. So when people confirmed it, it wasn't a big surprise. Now, for a lot of other people who knew me, it was a huge surprise. What? Are you kidding me? God can use him? Yeah, he can. God will speak a rhema word to you. Now, that's what we're talking about here, and I'm going to explain that a little bit as we go through this, because you need to get a rhema word. If you're going to keep hope from being deferred in your life and making your heart sick, you have to get a rhema word. It's the only thing that will keep you hanging on. The only thing that keeps me hanging on as a pastor of Bethel Worship Center at times is a rhema word that God has given me. I have called you, and I'm going to keep you. Don't you dare run from what I've called you to. You understand this? I want you to get a rhema word. Let's talk a little bit about that, because it is a little different. As we look at this, look at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. It's very going to be very well-known scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, this the word here that is rendered word is logos or logos. Or pronounced both ways. And it means an expression of thought. It embodies a concept or an idea. It is the written word that we have. That's logos, logos. Jesus here is said to be the word, the logos in flesh. He was God's spoken word, walking around in the flesh. So when he spoke, it was like God speaking. That's how powerful Christ was when he walked on the face of the earth. Jesus is the embodiment and expression of God's thoughts, as also is the Bible. Now, we need to understand that that's what this Bible is. There's a lot of skeptics and critics out there these days saying this is not the inspired, inerrant word of the living God. But it is. And if we don't believe this, we'll get off track. We've got to base our belief system on this Bible. There was a time in the history of the United States that most of our society based their belief system on the Word of God. Long gone. Praise God, it can come back. I believe that. I believe that people's hearts can turn back to the living God. That we can have a moral society where people will care for one another and lift people up and encourage. Yes, we need to take care of our needy. Yes, we need to recognize that we share what God has given us to bless others. But we don't have handouts for everybody that comes along. That we have to earn our way in society. Not in the kingdom of God, but in society. You must earn your way. If you're going to be a productive member of society. Man, are we far from that right now. Okay, I'm going to move on. That's a soapbox. I don't want to get on that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word there is logos. For the word of God is quick. It's not fast. We know that. It's alive. It's alive. This word that we have, this thing is alive. We've got to catch that reality. That this thing, when you open it, you're opening a living epistle of Almighty God with many epistles in it, I guess. Many, many books, many words of God in this Bible. But it's alive and it will change your life. The Bible says it'll discern between body, soul, and spirit is basically what it's saying. So you can discern what's soulish compared to what's spirit. It's important that we recognize this. So it's saying that this word has that power. And it does. As you read it, it has that kind of power. Because it'll give us a moral compass. Everybody in here can get a moral compass from the Word of God. Please don't get it from the world. Get it from God's Word. If you get that, that's what it's talking about. It'll help you discern. However, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The word there is rhema. And a rhema word is something a little different. It's an utterance, it's a declaration of one's mind made in words. It's something spoken to the heart. So when you get a rhema word, you're speaking or reading the living word of God, and suddenly God speaks to your heart and says, this is for you. It becomes alive to you. It becomes real to you. And when it becomes real and alive to you, it changes your whole life and your destiny. Because from that point on, you can hang on to that word knowing that God has spoken it to you no matter how long it takes for it to be fulfilled. That's a rhema word. We all have to have that in our life. If you don't have it, your heart is going to get sick at times because you're not going to have hope. But if you have a rhema word from God, you'll have hope. David had that. He had exactly what we're talking about. He knew that God had anointed him, that God had said he was going to be king. It didn't matter how long it took for him to become king. Remember, he was probably somewhere around 15 years old, maybe a little older. We don't know for sure. But from the time that he was anointed to be king and the time that he became king over all of Israel was about 15 years. That's a long time in a person's life. In the meantime, during that period of time, he was chased by Saul in the wilderness, and he spent many years in the wilderness trying to flee from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. He spent years He spent some time with the Philistines, his enemies, trying to stay away from Saul. All kinds of things happened in David's life. There was ups, there was downs, there was all kinds of situations. But David had a rhema word from God that told him he was going to be king of all of Israel. And he believed it. There was no doubt. If you read the story of David, he believed it. Amen. So get that. You know, there was a man by the name of Ben Hooper that grew up in Tennessee in the late 30s, early 40s. And during that time, it was children who were born out of wedlock were looked down upon. And people made fun of them. Actually, Ben said that when he was growing up, his life was terrible. He was miserable. He didn't like to go to school because kids would make fun of him. He would just go off at noon by himself. They'd call him all kinds of horrible names. You know, people can be really cruel. No doubt about it. Yeah, that's right, especially kids. But one of the things that Ben liked to do was he would go off on Sunday mornings. His mom didn't even know it. And he would go to this little country church. And he would sit outside the country church. And he would listen to this preacher. And man, he liked the things that preacher said. They were encouraging words that God had a plan for him. And that things were could change in his life. And he started listening to this preacher. And one day, he got so bold that he even went into the back of the church and sat down in a pew in the back. And he thought to himself, I'm going to slide out before anybody even notices I'm here. But the sermon was so moving, and he got caught up in it. Before he knew it, it was over, and the pastor was standing right over top of him looking at him. And he looked at him, and he said, young man, who are your parents? And he said, he must have seen something in my eyes. He must have noticed that I was really uncomfortable when he asked me that. Because he said, wait a minute, I know whose son you are. You're the son of the Most High God. You're a child of Almighty God. I want you to go from this place and do great things for the kingdom of God. From that day on, Ben Hooper knew that God had called him to do great things in his kingdom. And during that period of time, there was only two politicians in Tennessee that it was ever voted into public office. Who had been born out of wedlock. And Ben Hooper was one of those people. He had learned who he really was in Christ. That's really important for us. Learn who we are in Christ. Get a rhema word from the Lord. Because when he gives you a rhema word, it will change the way you think about yourself. It will change your destiny. That's the last one, or the first one. Second thing is, expect transition. Transition can be good. Transition can be difficult. 1 Samuel 16:13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So as we read this morning, he was anointed. But the anointing didn't keep him from going through all the things that I already talked about. It didn't keep him from having a difficult time at times in his life. Listen, if you think just because you have a rhema word from God, God has called you to do something, that it's going to be easy, you're in for a big surprise. Because you have an enemy of your soul that does not want you to accomplish what God has called you to. You have an enemy of your soul that is trying to keep you. It doesn't matter what it is that he's called you. He doesn't want anything in the kingdom to go forth. So if you're called to do something, the enemy's going to try to stop it. He's going to bring people. He's going to bring opposition against you. He's going to bring a saw against you to try to wipe you out, get you out of the way. He's going to cause you to think thoughts and plant thoughts in your heart and mind to keep you from moving forward. He's going to do everything he can possibly do to stop the kingdom work that is working inside of you. But if you're called, if you have a rhema word, you can expect these obstacles and these problems to arise, but you could also expect good things to happen along the way. David had good things, he had bad things happen. But all because he understood who he was in Christ or in God, he was able to continue. If you're going to have hope when there is no hope, you had better expect some transition in your life. You know, before Samuel anointed David, he was in that sheep pen, taking care of sheep. But suddenly, things started changing in his life. Of course, he came up against Goliath, and he killed Goliath. Why was he able to do that? Because he had a rhema word from God. You know, why should he fear a giant? David himself said, I killed a bear and a lion with my bare hands. I'm not going to fear this uncircumcised Philistine. He's just a tool the enemy's trying to use to stop me and stop the armies of God. And we're going to take him down. And he did. He went out. You think about this. The guy went out without a sword. But he told Goliath before he went out, I'm going to cut your head off. He was already thinking ahead. I'm going to use your own sword and cut your head off. David knew God was with him. You've got to know that God is with you in these things. David believed and trusted everything that God said to him. And when all these things started happening in his life, he was moved from the sheep pen to the palace. He started living in the palace. Then Saul tried to kill him. He had to run for his life. And all these things started taking place. He fled from Saul into the wilderness and was probably about 20 years old. So 10 years after he fled from Saul, he finally became the king over all of Israel. All that time, David had hope where there wasn't any hope. He wrote this about that time, Psalms 37:5. Commit thy ways unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's a man with some conviction about the rhema word that God has given him. So, get a rhema word. Expect transition, both positive and negative. Some of you are going through negative right now. Remember what God has called you to. Remember, the Lord is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. And the last thing I want to talk to you about. Behave wisely. Very important that we always behave wisely. It doesn't matter whether things are turning out the way we think they should. It doesn't matter how other people are treating us, what's happening at work or what's happening in the family. You conduct yourself properly. It's easy sometimes to say, well, it's not happening the way God, I thought God said it was going to happen, and you just go off. Do your own thing. Act your own way. That's just going to create more problems. Be wise. Pastor Otis reminded us this morning in prayer about the story of Mordecai and Haman. How Mordecai was a great man of God in the story of Esther. And he behaved very wisely before the king. He actually saved the king's life and good things happened. And when the king realized what happened, that Mordecai saved his life, he called Haman in, who hated Mordecai, wanted to kill him. He called Haman in and he said, what should I do for a man that I want to highly esteem? And Haman thought he was talking about himself. So he started telling him all these things you should do. Put him on an animal, a donkey, I believe, and lead him through town and say praises about him. when all come said and done, God said, or the king said, which is God saying to your situation, the king said to Haman, well, that's good. Now I want you to go out and get Mordecai, put him on the animal, and lead him through town and tell everybody how wonderful he is. It's a great story. Because no matter what the enemy tries to set up against you, God has a better plan. God has a better plan. And he'll take those circumstances that the enemy has tried to wind around and manipulate so that you are going to be injured, and he'll turn it around so that the enemy goes down instead of God's people. Amen. So behave very wisely. 1 Samuel 18:30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed. Doesn't matter what the situation is that you're in, what other people are doing. Don't allow their actions to dictate the way you deal with the situation. Continue to be highly esteemed, both in God's eyes and man's. Walk in integrity always, all the time. Isaiah 54:17 tells us this: no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now, listen to this part. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper because your God is on your side. And this is your heritage. This is what you can expect from your heavenly Father, that he is going to be on your side no matter what. Amen. Pastor Otis. When we think about weapons that are against us, we've got to recognize and remember, God is truly on our side. The enemy has all kinds of weapons that he tries to use, but they're nothing compared to the weapons of our God. And the things that appear that may, you know, it looks like, could it be that God is using this thing? Yeah, he certainly can. And he certainly will. Stand with me. There was a young man during World War II. It was prior to World War II. He believed that God had called him into the ministry. But World War II happened. So he was drafted. And while he was there, he was in South Pacific on an island, and Japanese were overrunning the island, and his platoon was pretty much wiped out, and he was by himself, and he didn't have anywhere to run. And finally, he just went to the highest mountain, and he found a cave. Now, you guys who've been in the military, I'm sure you know that's not a good place to go. Cave is a grave. That's what I've always heard. But when you have no place else to go, you have to do it. And he did. He went in this cave. And he said, God, I believe you called me into the ministry, and only you can keep me alive in this situation. I just completely turn my life over to you. And as he was laying there waiting for the Japanese to come up, and he heard them coming, and they were checking all the caves as they went along. He saw a spider, and that spider started weaving a web. And he thought to himself, God, I need a concrete wall, and you're sending me a spider web? I don't understand this. And as he watched, the spider completed, and he heard the Japanese coming, and as they come along, they were checking out every cave, and they saw this one, and they just walked right on by. And after it was all over with, he thought to himself, They must have gone by because they saw that spider web and thought there could not be anybody in there. Now, it seems like a crazy story, but those are the kind of things God will do for us. A spider web becomes a fortress when it's with our God. And I want you to know, your God is on your side this morning. Your God is for you, not against you. That no weapon's going to form against you is going to prosper. Your God is your rear guard. He's going to protect you in the front, in the back, and all around. Trust Him no matter what you are going through this morning. Bow your head with me. Hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.